You're listening to All News All Morning on the Motherlode's News Station, AM 1450 and FM 102.7 KVML. Yesterday, California Governor Gavin Newsom held a press conference. Here are edited portions of that press conference.
Thank you again for the opportunity to update you on some of the work we're doing here in the state of California to keep people healthy and also keep people safe. I don't need to remind anybody that lives in the state of California of the wildfire season getting extended year in and year out. I don't need to remind anybody that was impacted directly or indirectly by the 628 fires that we had just last week here in the state of California about the seriousness and resolve to which we place on making sure that we are prepared for every wildfire season. As we enter into July, August, September, extending into October, and as has become the norm now, not the exception, even November, we refer to this time of season, peak wildfire season. We have had to date, at least through July 5th of this year, from January to July 5th, some 4,112 wildfires. That represents a significant increase over last year. The good news is that the size of the fires have been contained, substantively so. In fact, average now, these wildfires, about 6.6 acres. We have a goal to get to 95% suppression under 10 acres for each wildland fire. We've been exceeding that goal. And as a consequence, even though we've experienced substantially above average number of wildfires, we have actually experienced a reduction in the average number of acres burned compared to previous year and compared to historic averages. Also encouraged that we were able to successfully pass a budget this year despite a very difficult budget climate, $54.3 billion budget shortfall that we had to balance. We were still able to make investments, not just the $285 million for the Blackhawks, but also made investments, $130 million in new investments for communication equipment, made investments on new cameras. We were able to get just shy of $25 million for what we refer to as an innovation sprint for new technologies. One of the more important, though, investments we made was an $85.6 million investment to provide a new permanent workforce for CAL FIRE. We're adding an additional 172 members, full-time equivalent staff, to our team. That is a significant increase. Those are not seasonal workers. That's baseline support for CAL FIRE. Again, during a difficult budget season, that was not necessarily something many people anticipated we would be able to accomplish, and that was accomplished because of the leadership of the legislature. I want to thank both the Senate leaders as well as Assembly leaders for supporting these budgets and advancing the collective cause of vigilance to keep us safe and prepare for our wildfire season. So it goes without saying, none of us were sheepish, none of us were shy in our condemnation and critique about the nation's largest utility, PG&E, that went into bankruptcy. With everything going on, many people may not be aware that PG&E is now out of bankruptcy. We were able to accomplish that before July 1st. But they're coming out a new company. They're coming out with new expectations and ultimately new accountability and responsibility and a new criteria that if they don't perform, the state of California can intervene in ways we've never been able to with a private utility in the past. It's important to note, a part of the emergence from bankruptcy, PG&E, they're required to do things in the past they've never been required to do on vegetation management, on updating and modernizing their grid, on hardening their infrastructure, on sectionalizing parts of the grid so they could be more precise in terms of when they turn off that power and how quickly they can turn on that power. There's a new wildfire safety division. There is a new wildfire safety advisory group made up of experts. The state of California has its own monitor that's currently in PG&E monitoring their progress to transition. There's a $5 billion obligation that PG&E has to invest in utilities broadly, to invest in hardening their infrastructure, undergrounding wires, and that is a requirement that does not come with a profit attachment. We have much more aggressive oversight at the Public Utilities Commission, which is the authority that oversees our three large IOUs, our investor-owned utilities, including PG&E. And there's a framework of engagement with a new board of directors. 11 of the 14 members of the PG&E board have been replaced with a new board, a new CEO. All have started with different skill sets and different obligations. We also have a new capacity because of the leadership of, Jerry Hill, among many others. I want to appreciate Senator Hill in particular, though, for his leadership, getting to me just a week or so ago a bill that allows us to take PG&E over if they are not performing on the expectations and the mandates that we have set forward. We have graduated sanctions, graduated oversight, and the capacity to break glass, what we refer to as Plan B, if they simply are not doing their job. So we are about safe, reliable, and affordable service, more oversight, more accountability, more capacity to deliver. I'm not going to overpromise, however, just on the PG&E front, that everything is going to change overnight. It took us decades for PG&E to create the mess that they created, where they ended up in bankruptcy for the second time in the last decade plus. None of us, again, are naive about what they need to accomplish moving forward. But we've never had a criteria. We've never had conditions set. We've never been able to bracket our expectations and have real oversight and accountability than we do today. And so let's work through this year. Let's continue to hold that company accountable with new energy, new focus, and new leadership to get California the place where you deserve it to be, even as we address the issues of climate change.